Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. We are finally going to finish, after 3 weeks, our Bible study on not letting circumstances cause separation. Not letting circumstances cause separation. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to look at starting in verse number 35. I want you to keep your Bibles open. We are going to remain in Romans 8 a lot this evening, so help us with it, if you will, by keeping your Bibles open there. Romans 8, let's start reading in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any of the creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let me remind you, the goal of separation is not so that you can have people say, look at me, look what I am, I'm a Christian. That is not the goal of separation. It is not a badge that you wear to say, look at me, look what I've done. Separation is so that you can be as close to your God as possible. See, the goal of separation is to get yourself as close to your Creator, as close to the source of love, as close to God as you can get. See, God made you to fellowship with Him. God made you to love Him. God made you to serve Him, and the closer you get to Him, the more you can do for Him, yes, but the closer the relationship you have with Him. Now, let me just review for a moment, and we will get there in a moment. Real love defends the object of love. A mother for a child, a husband for a wife, or vice versa. Now, I want you to notice something here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. The Bible says, who shall separate us? It doesn't say, what shall separate us? It implies, it says, a person is the only thing that can separate us. That means this, either the lover or the loved are the only two things that can separate. That means, and by the way, you'll notice there wasn't a person mentioned thereafter. There's only things mentioned. But God said, who shall separate us? Now, remember, separation isn't just coming out of something that is wrong or something that is bad or something that is lesser. That's only part of separation. Bible says that when Lot left Sodom, they got to Zoar, and his wife turned and looked, and she became a pillar of salt. In the book of Luke, it says, remember Lot's wife. Why? She came out, but she was not separated. Though she came out of something, she was not yet close to God. She was going somewhere looking back. That's the average Christian today. Yeah, all over the news today, the Southern Baptists are taking such a strong stand. They are upset that they're allowing the Sodomites into the Boy Scouts, so they're about ready to rebel and not have Boy Scouts in their churches. It's only taken them 60 years to figure it out. Wow, what a tough stand. Now, let me review some points here. Number one, real love is only between people, not objects. Let me remind you of that. Love, God made man as the only creation that has the ability to love. I know I make people mad every week with this one, but that's okay. Might as well make it 3 weeks in a row. Your dog or your cat cannot love you. It can show affection, but it cannot love you. God did not create any animal with the ability to love. You say, oh, my dog loves me. Give me enough hamburger meat, I can get it to love me. It doesn't love you. It will show you affection. You beat that dog every day for about a week or two, it won't love you anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So it's not a matter of love, it's a matter of affection. Now, by the way, that's why That's why I detest the teaching in our schools that man is a mammal. Man is not a mammal. Man is man. Everybody doing okay? Evolution has brought the teaching that man is a mammal. We are not related to the monkey. We are not related to the whale. We're not related to any other animal. God made man in his image. By the way, you say, well, I just don't think that you understand science. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. God made all those animals. He didn't make any other creation on day number 6 but man. That means it was its own independent creation. Everybody doing okay? Here we go. Number 2, love is an act of the will. It's not a response to circumstances. You decide you love someone. You don't react in order to love someone. Reaction, there's two types of love. You have phileo and you have agape. Agape is that deep abiding love of God. Phileo love is a sensual, a physical, a more of a circumstantial type. Like, for instance, I love coffee. I love certain foods. I love steak. I love all those things. I love my new grill. Man, not a better thing in the world, man. I grilled chicken last night. It's the first time I've been able to grill chicken the right way in forever. Amen. It was great. Now, wait a minute. I love my grill. That doesn't mean that it's showing affection back. I don't go out there and hug my grill and all that kind of stuff, especially when it's hot. But I don't do that. You say, why? I enjoy it. It brings me some physical satisfaction. By the way, that's why the world doesn't have love. They have lust. That's phileo love. Agape love is something you decide by your will that you will love. For instance, if you have a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old, you have to have agape love, because if not, you're going to kill them. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Then it happens again about the time they hit 13. And then it doesn't stop, okay? But agape love is decided by the will, okay? Phileo love is not commanded in the Bible, but agape love is, okay? Number 3, when there is a separation of love, it's usually because the object moves away from the lover. The lover does not move away from the object. But God commandeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love did not move. He didn't change. Man sinned and separated himself from God. God had to make a way for us to get back to him. But by the way, God doesn't come chasing you down. He sent the Holy Spirit to convict you, but he's not going to chase you down. Now, listen very carefully here. Usually in a marriage or in any love relationship, I'll use marriage first, usually the one with the strongest love isn't the one that gets sidetracked. It's usually the other. That one gets sidetracked. Here's what happens, though, a lot of times, unfortunately. Then there's a gap between you, and if you're not careful, the love, the one that has the love to begin with, says, nuts to that, I'm going over here and getting away from you, and you make that gap even farther. Mm-mm. You got to stay here, keep that resource of love going so that it can be restored. Okay? Same is true with parents and children. As you raise children, and by the way, as you raise them, they get old enough to make their own decisions. They're not always going to make good decisions. Guess what? You still love them. You don't have to approve of their decisions. But you can still love them, and that source stays there for when they see the error of the way, they return. That's what Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. It doesn't say he'll never go bad. It says he will never blame you for doing it. Okay? And I'm not going to go any farther with that. Then, number 4, circumstances, often due to us all being sinners, arise to separate our attention from God. God said, well, now watch this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he goes into this list of, he goes into tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And we discussed what all those things were. See, what happens is this, the devil, that role you play well, okay? The devil is watching you to see how you react to certain things. And as he sees you turn your attention, he starts bombarding you with that same temptation. Now, let me say this. The temptation is not what came between you and God. It came because you took your eyes off God. You changed your direction and became like Lot's wife and drew your attention back to what you came from. It is not the circumstance that's creating it. It is you not focused on separating unto God. Thank you, Brother Matt. We talked about, by the way, the devil does not know your thoughts. The devil cannot read your mind, but he studies you. He knows your thinking. He knows what grabs your attention. Some of you older teenagers and young adults, you've sat in my classes. There are some things that you do. I know what you're thinking before you get it out of your mouth. I've watched you. I knew what you were doing. There's some of you kids. I've watched you well enough. I know when you're about to get in trouble. I try to warn you. I'll try to change attention a little bit, keep you from getting in trouble. I watch some of you adults. I know when you're about to doze off. Okay? You say, well, I've been watching. Now, wait a minute. You have to understand, the devil cannot read your mind. He's not God. But he studied you enough to know what tempts you. Then God lists a bunch of circumstances that we have the ability to conquer. Death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, creatures. All those things, and we went through what they all were. I'm not going to review all that again tonight. God said we can overcome those things. Now, the whole purpose of this three-week lesson is tonight, believe it or not. All of that was the groundwork for what I really wanted to get to. And really, in about 20 minutes, you'll find out what the whole purpose was because it's at the very end. Say, why? That kept my attention for 3 weeks. I don't know about you, all right? But I want to show you something. Turn to Romans 8. Let's look at the beginning of the chapter here. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to notice something here. No condemnation to those who are saved, who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Now, those are important terms. Here we go. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look at me. When you walk after the flesh, do you have a better chance of getting close to God or not? Nope. When you walk in the Spirit, do you have a better chance of getting close to God? Yes, you do. Watch this, verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the, what's the next word? Things of the flesh. Circle that word. Things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now look at me. Let's read verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, those that are in the flesh separate themselves from the love of God. I didn't say those that are lost. The Christian who lives in the flesh separates himself from the love of God. Because the Bible says when you are in the flesh, you are at enmity with God. By the way, it also says that you will mind the things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? You could go to Ephesians chapter 5 and figure that out. Lust, envy, strife, emulations, all those different things that are listed as the works of the flesh. Those are circumstances that come into your life. And some of you say, well, God's not hearing me. God's not answering me because you're living after the flesh, not after the spirit. That's not God's fault. You're living like a lost person. You're living after the flesh and not after the spirit. Because the spirit cannot communicate with the flesh unless the flesh submits to the spirit. Now, here we go. Are you ready? When you separate yourself by living in the flesh, you move away from him. Did you get that? When you live not yielded to the spirit, when you live in the flesh, what you're saying is this: God, I don't want what you have. I'm going this way. Remember Lot's wife? What did she say? I'll leave Sodom, but I still want what Sodom has. I may have come out, but this is what I wanted. And she separated herself from God by living after the flesh. By the way, those that, according to Romans chapter 8 here, those that live after the flesh have no peace. When you live after the flesh, your life is in turmoil continually. I could cancel about 3/4 of the psychological evaluations in our country. Get saved and live after the Spirit of God. Period. Brother Williamson, I've never seen anybody that was walking close to God ever have a nervous breakdown. Ever. I've never seen anybody that was walking in the Spirit of God on a regular basis ever crack up, Brother Stoltz. Say why? It seems like they have this peace about them. Can I tell you why? Because God doesn't flip out. Those of you that live in the emergency of life, can I tell you something? Slow down and get right with God. Get close to him. I'm not mad. Can I tell you why people that live in the flesh are this way? Because they're looking at the things of the flesh. They're not looking at the things of God. Because the Bible says here, verse number 9, but ye are not of the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If you look back up earlier, it says that those that are living in the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Ooh. The things of the Spirit. What's that? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. Against such there is no law. Those aren't circumstances. Those are principles by which to live. Now, living for the flesh, or the word carnally. That word carnal. I'm going to bring it down to where we live, man. You ready? That word carnal means carnivore. Meat eater, amen? And I am a carnivore. I believe in eating meat. That's why God said arise, kill, and eat. He didn't say arise, pick, and eat. Okay? He said arise, kill, and eat to Peter. Peter said, oh, Lord, some of that stuff you said we shouldn't have. He said, it's okay. Arise, kill, and eat, man. Bless God, let's kill it all and eat it. Amen? If you can't grill it, don't shoot it. Amen? But you have to understand something. For when you live after the flesh, the Bible calls that being carnal. Carnal meaning flesh. Things that appeal to your physical body, your flesh, your fleshly desires. Let me put it this way. Carnal Christians live in such a way to where it's either their way or no way. If you can't have it your way, then I'm not doing it. Folks, that's a horrible way to live. Have you ever noticed people that live that way don't live with much peace? People that are carnally minded, and ladies, don't get mad at me, because there are men that are just as bad at this, but predominantly women live this way. You live by your emotions. You make decisions based on emotion. Can I tell you something? your emotions are not to be trusted? Do you know my emotions are not to be trusted? If I make decisions based on my emotions, I'm going to be wrong about 80 to 85% of the time, guaranteed. And if I'm under pressure, it goes up even higher. Say why? I have been in the same situations you have been. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm cranky. I've got a lot on my mind, and some jerk pulls in front of me. Now, my flesh and my emotions want me to do one thing, but the Spirit says do something else. I'm not asking what you do, but I do know this. As pastor of Grace Baptist Church, I can see it in the paper tomorrow if I don't act right. There have been times where I have wanted to take care of business my way, but it's not the right way to do it. There's been times I felt like people have wronged us in a business deal, but I don't take care of it the way some of you would. I got to tell you something funny. I won't tell you who. I won't tell you what business. You'll never pull it out of me, but we had a little business deal with a local business, and my secretary got a little upset with them. Now, she did it in the spirit because she waited a couple days. But after we finally got this thing resolved after a couple weeks, literally, she sent them an email back that said, well, we found what we were looking for in the first place where you said it wasn't. And because of that, my pastor said we would never come there again and spend any more money. Boy, you should have seen the nice letter she got back. It was done well. Now, she didn't react in the flesh. I wouldn't let her. A couple times I said, calm down, wait till tomorrow. Because we were both about ready to kill them. Kind of like God and Moses, if they'd ever got along on the same day, there would be no Jews. You know, one day Moses says, kill them all. And God says, no, I can't do that. Next day God says, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And Moses looks up and says, you can't do that. You know, if they ever agreed, and I'm no kidding, one chapter to the next, it's just like that. And you're thinking, man, if they ever agreed on the same day, Jews are gone, man, gone. So walking in the Spirit keeps you close to God. Look at Romans chapter 8, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For they have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Folks, when you live close to God, the Holy Spirit will speak through your spirit and be able to control you so that you can live close to God. Do you know what the difference between an animal and man is? Man has a spirit. That's it. A horse, a dog, a cat, any other animal in the world has a body and it has a soul, but it has no spirit. That's why God said in John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Man's spirit died with sin, and it needs reborn through the Spirit of God, and this is how it works. Do you realize that God does not talk to your flesh? God never came down and smacked you on the hand. Some of you would have been better off had he. He didn't come down and smack you upside the head, though some of us should have had it more than once. God speaks to man by the Holy Spirit to man's spirit. That's why yielding to the Holy Spirit is such a big deal in the love of God. That's why the disciples were upset when Jesus was about to go to heaven. They said, look, what are we going to do? He said, I have left my spirit with you. He has sent you the Holy Spirit, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Hello. Whew. That means when you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking as close to God as you can get here on earth. That's a good question. When you're about to blow your stack, how close to God are you then? Now, there are things you should blow your stack about. God didn't say you should never get angry. He said, be angry and sin not. Most of the time we get angry, though, we're being sinful. Now, you see me get up and throw a fit about sin, or you see me throw a fit about the world or something like that, and you say, oh, boy, he's really mad tonight. No, I'm just throwing a holy fit the way it's supposed to be thrown. It was planned. It was executed on purpose. It wasn't just something that I felt had to come out, and I was just angry, and bam, here we go. But I want you to notice something here. Look at verse number 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Look at me. Do you ever notice people that are in sin are in bondage? The alcoholic is in bondage to alcohol. The person that smokes cigarettes is in bondage to nicotine. The man or the woman that chews tobacco is addicted to those things. They're in bondage to it. People live immorally. There are people that are addicted to immorality. Say why? Because they are in that bondage of that sin. They choose not to get out of it. But watch this. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Ooh. Then it says, two verses later, that we become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I like this one, Brother Williamson. That's my daddy back there. No matter what happens, he can't keep me from being his son. Not at all. You can say things that you want about me. It doesn't change the fact that he's my dad. You can say things about him. I'll fight you. But you can say whatever you want. But may I say this? It doesn't change the fact that's my dad. You say, well, I don't like the car he drives. Good, you won't get it anyway. Well, I don't like the house he lives in. Good, it's not yours anyway. It doesn't matter. Now listen to me very closely. Do you realize that if you are saved, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? If both of my parents pass away, I have a brother, and we become joint heirs of my mom and dad's estate to take care of it from there on. Not you, not somebody else. Shoot, there's people in here, you're as close to my mom and dad, and almost call them grandma and grandpa or mom and dad the second, amen? And I'm good with that. But guess what? Your name's not on the will, mine is. I hope. Got you, didn't I? I saw that one coming. Now, wait a minute. Look at me. Guess what? Though I may feel close to some of you, I'm really not family. Now, we're part of the family of God together, but may I say this? The moment you got saved, you got the spirit of adoption. God legally adopted you. Better take a drink of water here. Brother Jerry hasn't been here despite my water, so I'm okay. You became legally adopted by God and become heir to everything that he has, and you are a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Whew. That's big stuff. By the way, that means you received what he is, not just what he has. God is love. Guess what? When you got saved, you got all of God's love available to you that everybody else has ever had. You got his patience available to you. You got everything that he is available to you. Now, I got to hurry up here. By the way, look at Verse 18. For I reckon that if the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Everybody look at me. Can I tell you something? I don't care what you're going through. It's worth it when you get to heaven. It's worth it. I hate the song. Sorry, we're not ever going to sing it here. It will be worth it all. Well, folks, it's worth it now. I'm not saying it's a bad song, but those of you that knew Brother Hiles know why I hate it. Folks, we walk through this life like everything's so bad and someday it's all going to be worthwhile. Well, who in the world wants to follow somebody like that? Say, you just don't understand what I'm going through. If you're not burning in hell right now, baby, it's okay. Say, but I hurt. I got up this morning knowing it was going to rain. Trust me. I have a knife that's serrated that's stuck in my hip right now, and somebody's going every time I move. I have felt it all day long. You can ask the people in my office this morning. This afternoon, I stood up for about a half hour because I couldn't sit down any longer on that hip. It was killing me. Say, why? Because that's life. Oh, I'm really suffering bad. Good night. Bless God, one day it's going to fall off and we're going to heaven. Amen? Who cares? Now, the Bible says suffering is nothing when we look at Him. Can I tell you when you're suffering something? When you're looking around you. You're looking at what you're suffering about. You're looking at all your situations and you're not focused on Him. Can I tell you how to show you where to find somebody's a fake spiritually? Okay. Who's the guy down in Oklahoma? Forgot his name all of a sudden years ago. Built the hospital. Oral Roberts, there you go. Faith healer that builds a hospital. Something's not right here. Oral Roberts said one night he saw a 900-foot Jesus that told him that if he didn't receive $1 million in the next 6 months, that God was going to kill him. He needed people to bring in $1 million. He saw a 900-foot Jesus. Now, wait a minute. And he bragged and bragged and bragged and bragged and bragged and bragged about the fact that he saw a 900-foot Jesus. Anywhere where people saw the presence of God in the scriptures, the Bible didn't say, look at me. They said, woe is me. I'm going to tell you something. The closer you get to God, the more you see yourself as you are, and you'll think you're farther away from Him. It's amazing to me, the most spiritual people I know are humble. Can I tell you why they're humble? Because as they get closer to God, they see their sin as it really is. It's us arrogant folks down here that think we're pretty good because we're comparing ourselves to people back here in Sodom. Quit comparing to Sodom. Why don't you compare to God Himself? You'll find out what you're not. Okay, moving on. Whole sermon. 3 weeks worth of messages. Are you ready? Here we go. Look at verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know that we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that, what is that? Love God. To them who are the called according to purpose. Watch this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. The whole truth about the love of God and separation is this. Well, if you just love God, everything's going to work out eventually. That's the wrong teaching of Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, You focus on the love of God and loving 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 God and doing what God wants and loving God. Guess what? All these things won't matter. They really won't matter. He'll work them out eventually. And you won't care how he works them out. Here's the way you do it. Well, I love God and everything's falling apart, so it must not be the will of God. Well, I love God and everything's falling apart, so it must not be the will of God. I love God and everything's falling apart, so it must not be the will of God. That's circumstantial. Do you think just because you love God, that's Pentecostal. Oh, just love Jesus and everything's going to work out. Everything's good. Let's all raise our hand and sing Kumbaya. That's charismatic. That's Pentecostal. That's wrong doctrine. I know, made somebody mad. Here we go. I don't care how much you say you love God, how close to him are you? And if you're worried about the petty little things down here, you're not as close to him as you think you are. Because he said, it doesn't matter whether infirmity or what suffering you go through, those things seem but naught for him because you love him. Because you love him. You see, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Guess what the opposite of that is? Those that separate from the love of God, things don't work out quite as well, do they? We get so focused on the things that we forget about the God we're supposed to be close to. I wished I could turn over the problems in my life at times. Say, you? Of course. Say, why? There's times I don't know how to make it through either. Say, what do you do? I say, I'm just going to spend time with him. I'm going to fall in love with you, and I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to give you everything I've got, and everything's okay. I don't care what's happening back there. Eventually, it'll take care of itself. Say, how do you get through your problems, Brother Bush? Just that way. I don't ignore them. I just focus on God. January 2nd, 1928. It was a Sunday morning. J. Frank Norris went to church that morning. He was at Sunday school, teaching Sunday school. Someone came running into where he was teaching and whispered to him, and he had somebody pick up from where he left off. His 84-year-old mother and his wife, one of his children, were home ill that morning from church. Word came to him that his house was on fire. It was a cold, cold day in Fort Worth, Texas. Temperatures well down in the low 20s that day, snow blowing. They were fortunately able to get out everybody from the house, even his 84-year-old mother that was ailing. They had to carry her out of the house. They got her out. He didn't even tell his church that somebody burned his house down. Preached church that night. It hit the papers the next day. He was accused of burning his own house down. You have to understand something. J. Frank Norris wasn't a nice guy like me. He was rough. His little $16,000 house was gone. Little five-room house. After the court case settled and everything else, God gave him a house that was worth 50% more than the first one that he had. Much larger house. Say, what happened in that intermediate time? Was he complaining? Nope. They cleared out two Sunday school classrooms at the church building, lived in them, cleaned them back out on Sunday morning so they could use them for Sunday school. He said, I'm going forward. He was content to live at the church the rest of his life. He said, I don't need a house. We're here to build the house of God, not mine. God rebuilt him a better house. He say, why? Oh, that was just lucky. That's just because he was a man of God. No, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I'm not saying that you give up everything in life. What I am saying is this: when you focus on the love of God, everything else is secondhand. It's nothing. It really isn't. You see, the whole key to Romans 8:28 is staying close to God's love and not separating from it. And not separating from God's love because of circumstances especially. Your emotions and your feelings are circumstantial. That anger is circumstantial. That wrath is circumstantial. Nobody cares attitude. So I'm not going to care. That's circumstantial. Envious, I wish I had attitude. All those things are, the devil's got you piddling around back here looking in the wrong direction. You're like Lot's wife wandering around looking backwards. We used to call her Salt Lick Sally, amen? Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. Say why? Because she's back here looking at what she used to have, not focused on what she was headed towards. Can I tell you something? Once you get over here, nothing down there satisfies. Nothing. Nothing. Once you get close to God, nothing satisfies. I remember I was at college, and I promised 60 seconds I'll close. I had dated a girl a couple times, and I asked my dad one day, I said, "Dad, how do you know if you got the right one?" He said, "You asking me?" I said, "Uh-huh." He said, "You don't. Drop her like a hotcake." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Fact is, you had to ask me." He said, "When you come back and tell me you know, then let's talk about it." He said, "Because you'll just know." About a year later, met my wife. I was talking to my dad, and he said, "She the one?" I said, "Mm-hmm." He said, "You think so?" I said, "Mm-mm, I know so." He said, "Let's talk." And he was right. Some of you think things too much. When you're close to God, you'll know. You'll know. It'll be evident. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Quit letting the circumstances control your love. Some of you are letting your circumstances separate you from God's love. Some of you are so separated from God in the very thing that you want because you're letting everything around you control it. What you desire so badly, you'll never get because you're looking in the wrong place.